Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Half-Baked Movie Review. That's right, this is the improvised title podcast with Truman Barnes. I have with me special ghost, super spooky. His name is Carlos. Carlos, why don't you introduce yourself
a little bit? Hello, I am Carlos. I am the movie reviewer today.
He is. This is going to be a movie review. We just sat down and watched
Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks, the 2017 film Monster Trucks.
January 13th, best birthday party ever.
Yeah, and so we just watched Monster Trucks. Great film, great movie. Carlos, I think it's one of your favorite movies.
It might just be. It's a guilty pleasure, definitely.
Yeah. I noticed that you have it downloaded on your computer.
on my massive media hard drive.
As well as a bunch of other movies. So this episode would have gone on to his podcast, which is called Half-Baked Movie Reviews.
Yeah, that will be the title.
But the recording software that we were using did not work.
Yeah, it just missed it out crashed. On a few minutes
yeah.
of the recording. So we're just gonna start over, finish up on Truman's side right here. And so let's get right into it.
Yeah, well, real quick, before we do that, there will be spoilers. We'll do about 5 minutes without any spoilers.
Five minutes of a review without spoilers.
And I think we should do one mistake that we may have made on your podcast.
Yeah.
We were concentrating too much on the plot.
Yeah.
We were just given a plot rundown instead of actually giving our thoughts and our feelings.
Yeah.
So I think we should do that first.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and go into the review.
Yeah.
So, Truman, so coming into the movie, coming out of the movie, I really liked it. I have nostalgia from it. Great first film watching experience in a theater with great friends.
Yeah.
So I really like it. I've seen it times after that. I really like it. I know it's bad. Mm-hmm. I know it's cheesy. And like,
it is both bad and cheesy. Real quick, it's a quick announcement. On the last podcast, I said that the next podcast would be a full blown one. There would be a visual version. We would have actual mics. We would have an editing process.
Right.
However, situations arose.
Right.
And so this one's coming up just a day or two after that last one. And so I'm announcing that it's going to be the next one. It will come up probably, hopefully next Wednesday. Maybe a little while after that. It depends on, how quickly, better microphone gets to me and the camera.
Great.
Getting those two.
That's very exciting.
Yes, I know. It's very exciting.
Future of your podcasting career.
It's going to be on YouTube. It'll still be on Spotify for those of you Spotify listeners out there. But I said that it would be the next episode, but it's probably going to be the one after this one. Just because I wanted to do this one. Because I have Carlos with me today.
Truly rad. Uh-huh. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I also think it is a very good movie. That is to say, a very bad movie.
Uh-huh.
It's starring, what's the guy's
Lucas
name?
Lucas Till.
Lucas Till is starring as Trip.
Yeah.
No last name. He did not have a last name.
Yeah, that's fair.
At any point. Him, his mom, and his dad, and his stepdad, or boyfriend?
Yeah,
his mom's boyfriend.
Mom's boyfriend.
None of them have last names. Neither does the loved interest. But the Funny Fat Kid has a last
funny
name.
Funny Fat Kid had a dealership, so of course there's the last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays Trip. Mm-hmm. His performance, I'd say, is pretty good. I'd say that about, like, 10 minutes into the movie, when they had that, What's it called?
The 10 minutes when...
No, when he's in the car and he's like, oh, come on in, ladies. You need a ride to...
Oh, when he pretended to like be driving his car, how it would be driving his car.
What's the name of it? What's the name of that festival?
Coachella?
Coachella, yeah.
Right.
You and your sister need a ride to Coachella?
You and your sisters?
Yeah. Whoa. And then he's like... Get down, Mr. President! Whoa! Boo, 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 boo!
It's so good. It's like a 6-year-old in a truck. Oh my
goodness. Yeah, it's a 16-year-old played by a 26-year-old embodying a 6-year-old.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So, yeah, I agree. Lucas Till was really good. Mm-hmm. I think it must be really awkward not... I don't know how they do it in all of these films. Maybe they had props, really good props team, to have paint rollers or something pointing at them. Because, like, acting without a creature there is so weird, right?
Yeah,
like, adding in special effects afterwards.
He did a pretty good job, I must say.
Dealing with all of that nonsense and then also being able to, give a decent performance. I don't know. It conveys what it needs to.
Uh-huh.
It's a kids movie.
It is a kids movie. And it employs a lot of those old classic kids movie tropes. So the main antagonist is played by Rob Lowe from West Wing and Parks and Rec fame.
Yeah, Tennyson.
Uh-huh.
That's what they know him by.
Yeah. and he has a sidekick. An antagonist sidekick. Oh, and we're starting to get into spoilers a little bit here.
Okay,
we're starting to get into a little bit of spoilers.
A little bit more about the movie.
Just our
opinions.
Yeah. So.
So Tennyson and his like hired thug lackey.
Yeah.
And
he has this other sidekick who's a
scientist
sidekick, and that's a common trope. You know, having the scientist sidekick who's like. Listen, I don't know exactly what it is you're doing, but I'm getting paid by you, so I'm going to help you out. Yeah. But then the character is somewhat redeemable in the end. Lots of kids' shows have that. And specifically, one that has that I found interesting, Shazam. Have you seen Shazam?
I haven't seen Shazam.
Shazam is very good.
It, right?
And the main bad guy has this woman. It's often played by a woman, I've noticed. But... the woman, a nerdy scientist sidekick who is redeemable.
Okay, yeah.
In some way.
So, who turns a new leaf by the end of the film is on the good side?
Exactly. Or at least, like, in some tiny way helps out the good guys.
Okay, totally.
Or is just, like... questioning.
I like that. How wholesome of a kids' movie to remind us that people in the end are essentially good, you know?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
Great morals.
Especially nerds.
Yeah.
which, I mean, is, like, really different from, like, real life, because nerds are, like, the worst people, I'd say. Yeah,
they're brutal.
Yeah,
they beat you up.
Yeah, they don't deserve...
They'll sick their robots on you.
Yeah, they don't deserve anything in the end.
So, this nerdy character, Dowd, he's played... Oh, I don't know the actor, but I really like him. I've seen him in many things.
Yeah, the actor... the character's name is Dowd, but no one can quite pronounce that.
Yeah,
so
because...
Everyone seems to say Dad.
Yeah, they're in, like, North Dakota, so everyone has an accent mild enough to make Dowd sound like Dad. And that's just the perfect
thing like,
for
intense
Dad. Scenes.
Get on that, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm
not gonna listen to you, Dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop telling me not to kill these creatures, Dad.
And yeah, I think his redemption towards the end of the film is great. His character arc is fantastic. An essential part of the movie, and one of my favorite scenes of him is when they're riding the monster trucks to freedom.
Right.
When he... Just, like, full frontal shot, just, like, barfs.
It's vomit on screen.
Vomit on screen. And it just looks like he coughed up Mountain Dew.
I had to, okay, story time. I had a, it was the first year of AISU.
I love that.
And Michael Tako. Did you ever become familiar with Michael Tako?
I don't know Michael
Tako. Oh my goodness. He comes home from his mission soon. Michael Tako was also an actor. Just he was one of the nerdy types.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He won Best Dressed like 2 years in a row.
Nice.
Because he came. Yeah.
Yeah.
He came like every day. In, like, a three-piece suit.
Oh, fantastic. He must have been very sweaty.
Yes. yeah, he was a very sweaty man. He had a lot of acne. He had a thing for Cat.
Oh, yeah?
And it was very obvious.
I love it. Okay. Uh-huh. So, and what reminds you of this individual? I forget.
What does remind... Oh, yeah, okay. So, we were doing... There's... the first year, a bunch of the high school acting group had made a, they had written a play, not a play, a bunch of small scenes.
Right.
And, they recruited me to be a part of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Tako played my dad.
Your dad.
And I was a 5-year-old kid and he was trying to get work done, you know, chomping away on a computer.
That's a good role for you. I see that.
Yeah. And I was like, Dad, you said we could order pizza when Mom left. Mom left, so now we can order pizza. And all that stuff. And I had to, I ate some pizza and it was not very good for my tummy. So I got sick and I threw up on his computer.
Right.
On stage.
Yeah.
And we were like, how do we do this effectively?
Yeah, how did you do it? Let's see.
We took a bag of salsa.
Salsa.
I slid it in my sleeve. And I just kind of, I poked a hole. It was like a Ziploc baggie of salsa.
Yeah, so did you squeeze it out?
I did.
Like
I
a sauce packet, yeah.
Used nice. My chin.
Used and your I, chin.
Because, you know, you vomit from your mouth.
Yeah, masterful.
So the best representation of vomit in media... Between monster trucks and the scene on stage, there was another scene. You know Tino? Of course you don't know Tino. He graduated that year. He played the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
And this person who ended up being a teacher in the elementary for like 1 year.
Really?
Huh. She wrote a scene where we were two gay lovers.
Oh.
Who owned a candle shop together.
Yeah, I love candles. Gay candles.
And the rest, most of the scene was great. It was really funny. It was well written. And we, like, discover that, like, if we made a candle out of someone's sweat, it, like, smelled good.
Okay.
Even though sweat smells bad, when we tried to make candles out of things that smelled good, they smelled bad. So we were like, what are we doing wrong? And we accidentally made one out of something that smelled bad, and it smelled good. And we, you know, made it rich and everything.
Okay.
And then at the end, and they were like, she said, I just think it would be funny if you, like, leaned in for a kiss when the lights went down. Because they're like, throughout the whole thing, it's like, oh, it's just this scene. Yeah. And at the end, you're gay.
Oh.
And I was like, first of all, I'm a 7th grader, and he's a high school senior, so no. And second of all, no. What? No. Because throughout the whole scene, we're just business partners.
Okay.
And then we're just arguing over what makes candles good, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, that was a little sidetrack.
Okay.
I vomited good. And so did Dad.
Vomit is good. Yes.
but okay. Yeah. So, how did you feel about the cinematography in this film?
Cinematography. I don't know why. I find it funny when films just start with that, cinematic pan over the landscape. It's so generic.
Yeah.
And like just common.
Lots of green.
Yeah. So
slightly blurry green.
Literally starts off for a laugh with me. I think it's interesting, the action scenes are shot well. It's not like a Fast and the Furious movie. It's I don't know, man, it's just a family-friendly, really fun, vibrant film. Cinematography isn't fantastic, I guess, just just competent enough to tell a good story and be fun for the family, I guess.
There was this one shot that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
It started when they're on the docks on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And Creech is in the water. And then Trip walks forward on the dock, and it like pans up. The camera follows him from above instead of from
that's
like
when
eye
it was
level.
A bioluminescent. Right?
Yeah,
yeah, and the hunting.
It was a neat shot. It was a neat shot with the last.
That was
CG.
Good. Also, when they're racing down the like side of the cliff in the monster trucks, and they're all like grappling each other and stuff, I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The action, like I don't know how it is to film that. It's so heavily CGI, I guess, but it was a good shot.
Were there any particular standout moments to you that were just really great?
Standout moments that are great in this movie. Oh, so bountiful. I don't know. I guess all of the characterizations, they're very simple and on the nose. So each one is like, oh, okay, so they're establishing that character or like that next thing that progresses the plot. I love that throughout the film. Specific moments? No. I'll be honest, nothing that jumps out at me at the moment.
I have a couple.
Yeah.
So that time when Creech's parents.
Yeah.
Creech is the creature in the truck, for those of you who are unaware, hence the title Monster Trucks.
Yes.
His parents, the same creatures, and you can tell that that one is the dad. And one is the mom, because the mom is pink.
Yeah.
Because girls are pink, and girls like pink. And
boys are blue.
Yeah, boys are blue and green and other colors, but girls are pink. They're trapped in this warehouse. And
by Dowd, the scientist, right?
Uh-huh. And Creech takes the truck to go and find his mom and dad.
Right.
Because he has this special connection with them that he never used throughout the rest of the movie.
Because Dowd says how they have a hive mind
at
that one point. With Lo, Tennyson.
And he finds that out by playing a game of Simon Says. So Creech, he tracks him down using the truck, but he doesn't tell Trip or take Trip or Meredith when he goes.
Yeah, they leave just in the morning. He does.
And so then when Trip and Meredith wake up and Creech is gone, it's like, what? Where? Why? How?
And they try to find him and Trip left his phone in the car.
Yeah, that's yeah. So Meredith is like, here's how we can find him. You left your phone in the car, right? And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, I have this app. And then she pulls out the app and can locate directly where his phone is.
Yeah.
At any time. And that's just very, creepy.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like something that an app should do.
Earlier in the movie when she comes to...
just appears at his place of work.
Yeah, she appears
for no
at
reason.
The junkyard where he works. And
or volunteers.
Volunteers.
Danny Glover makes it very clear that he's not getting paid.
Yeah, and so she pops up there and he's... to study bio. And
right, yeah.
Just out of the blue. They never talked before, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, they've had little moments, but...
So this app reveal is great.
Yeah.
See, there's no plot holes. That's what I love about this movie.
Yep.
They had an
they
expert
everything through.
Look through this and make sure everything had a reason.
Uh-huh.
It's almost laughable how much everything has a reason.
But anyway, so they take a taxi there. Mm-hmm. They take a taxi to the Trexac. What's the name?
Teravex.
To the Teravex home, the Teravex HQ, and then I don't know how they paid the taxi driver.
Probably with Meredith's credit card.
Right, but...
apparently she can just spend exuberant amounts of money. She can just
spend money because it was very far away.
Yeah.
Because they were driving from there in the first place. So we know that it was at least...
Yeah,
it was very far away.
It's extremely far away, and we don't know where the money's coming from. Meredith just flashes that plastic, you know?
And
that's when they're finding his dad?
No.
Or which part?
They go there, and they're like, hey, here we are, we found him. We found the truck. But Creech isn't inside.
Oh,
he must be looking for his mom and dad.
At the lab, and they just go through an unmarked door on the side.
They're like, oh, here's this door.
Progress through the building and just land where Creech's family is.
Yeah, they go through three doors, and all of a sudden, they're in the right place.
Yeah, and that's when they hear a banging, and Creech is...
Creech
bashing his skull into the wall.
Through the wall!
Yeah, through like a 2 foot at least wall of concrete, he just bashes his head slips in. That's when alarms go off, and Terravex comes in, apprehends them all, including Creech.
Yeah.
Sedates him.
And he goes through, and he goes through the pictures on Meredith's phone. Of Creech.
Yeah, so that's in the office with Burke and Tennyson.
Yeah. And Nerdy Guy.
Yeah.
And he just goes, delete, delete, delete. There go those pictures. You can never, ever get them back again.
He didn't even go through Recently Deleted. A smart movie would through Recently Deleted.
Yeah, well, anyway, they... so he's like, oh man, well, I guess we can never ever get that back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what one of my favorite moments is
that
the
off.
They walk through three doors and end up in the right place, even though Creech has been there for hours and hasn't been able to find it, even though he has a literal connection with his parents.
Very confusing logic, but I mean, it's logic nonetheless. You can't fault this film.
It's not! Anyway,
So...
Who'd you say your favorite character is?
My favorite character? Dude, easy toss-up between Sam Golden, I think is his name, and, Danny Glover's character.
So Danny Glover is in the movie.
No, think about it.
Three scenes.
Sam as well.
Sam is in, like, two scenes.
Yeah.
But... he doesn't even get a slow motion, look at how happy they are now, at the end of the movie. But Danny Glover does.
Okay, look at this. They're integral parts of the plot.
Oh my gosh.
Without Danny Glover, we would never have the Junkyard with Trip.
Theoretically.
And he's an aspiring black man running a junkyard.
Aspiring black man?
I don't know.
I hope to one day be a black man.
He's in a wheelchair. It's great. I love his character. And then we got the fat nerdy Sam, just turned 16. Or not even 16. I love that. He helps out Trip. He knows how to use one of those sawzalls. It's great, dude.
Yeah.
Great characters, well-rounded, not flat, completely three-dimensional, integral parts of the plot.
Yeah, not a fan.
Close seconds, Trip and Creech. Their relationship their chemistry, is great.
The chemistry between...
their bond.
Lucas Till and a computer.
Wait, I'm really curious. That's very nice. We'll have to maybe do a reflective, see this movie again, because... I think there's only one mention of the date in the film. And it's not even the date, it's the day. It's a Friday Meredith comes over with the flashcards.
Well, but then she says, remember last week when this happened?
So the time frame is completely interesting.
Uh-huh.
And properly confusing.
We were trying to read a cereal box in the background. We thought that might give us some information.
It was just a fun game.
Yeah.
So...
anyway, there's these recurring characters.
And your characters?
My favorite characters? Well, There's this one who I appreciated. His name is Jake, parentheses, Letterman Kid.
Oh, yeah, Jake.
According to IMDb. And it's this kid and his girlfriend? Not sister.
Brianna.
Brianna.
Yeah, his girlfriend. I was going to say Sam, but that's no, the fat
that's
ginger
the
kid.
Fat ginger kid.
Yeah.
Whose name also they use, like, maybe once.
Yes.
So,
Brianna, the girlfriend.
Yeah,
is,
so...
What scene are you thinking in particular?
Well, Jake, Letterman Kid,
yeah,
and Brianna are...
The
these,
best?
These two kids, they're, two, like...
Two high schoolers at trip school.
Yeah, and they're the cool kids.
Yeah, they're,
you know?
The, cool
they're
kids
the cool kids
with lots of money.
Yeah,
that's obvious.
Jake has a lot of money. And they're both billed above Sam, even though Brianna doesn't have a single line in the movie.
Yeah, and I don't think they say her name at all. I
nope,
didn't know it was Brianna until we looked through the credits.
Jake says one word,
yeah, Jake.
Jake has one line. Yeah, but they were still credited above, I think
Sam.
Above Danny Glover.
No, Danny Glover's on front page of those credits.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
Sam is on this is later on, sadly.
He is. So, but they...
So...
They just keep driving by and see...
Yeah.
And
antagonizing Trip
see
and
Trip,
gang.
And they're like, hey... Oh, there was a good moment where, when Meredith first shows up with the flashcards.
Yeah.
And she says, hey, Trip! And then he trips over the truck.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was a good...
You know what's also
bit.
Good with, Brianna and Jake? The scene where Trip has to pump the gas, and Creech just keeps, like, pulling him into the car to be pumped.
Yeah.
And then they're making fun of him. And then he speeds off because Creech is hopped up on that
gasoline. And so then Brianna looks at Jake. And Jake's like, what? His car fast, but my car cool.
Yeah.
Aww.
It's a great character,
great moment. Mm-hmm.
Character moment.
And let's talk about Brianna's character, because she seems to be falling in love with Trip.
Yeah, it's really funny, honestly.
What the heck?
And
is going
in
on
every
there?
Scene, I think in every scene, except for the bus one, Trip is with Meredith.
Right.
Jane Levy, the love interest, I guess.
And
so it's really funny.
So, yeah.
Well, she's with Jake, her boyfriend, of course.
Right,
as well.
Yeah. And here's the thing. What the heck?
What the heck? I'm asking you.
As a friend. Okay.
Who did this film?
Let's talk about Trip's mom.
Trip's mom.
So, first of all, this movie does not pass the Bechdel test.
Yes.
There are two named female characters, Brianna and Meredith.
Yeah.
But Brianna never talks.
She has one scene in the movie, and then in the... like, end scene, she's, like, the pair with her
boyfriend.
Oh,
no, you're talking about the mom.
Yeah, that's her
I'm
mom.
Talking about Brianna.
Brianna, oh!
Yeah, Brianna and Meredith both
What's
have
the
names.
Mom's name? The mom...
The mom has... never has a name.
No, the mom has to have a name.
The mom does not
I
have a name.
I can't remember it,
she's
but
billed
it
as mom on
no
IMDb.
Way. This is absurd. I love that. Okay, so
yeah.
The two characters, Brianna and Meredith, we know them.
Yeah, they both have names, and, but... They
but,
do not talk,
yeah,
let alone to each other.
Brianna never talks.
Brianna
Meredith
never says a
talk.
Word. But Meredith does talk. She has a pretty big role. But this movie so far from passes the Bechdel test that they don't even have two characters, two female named characters who talk. They only have one named female character who talks, unless you count mom as a name.
Yeah, so...
Yeah,
I don't know what that says about the movie, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's always one of my first questions going into a movie. Does this pass the Bechdel test?
Okay, I never think about that, I'll be honest. I just watch a movie to, like... I enjoy the art of film, and I enjoy
stories
being made.
It's just,
I never
it's just a fun little
that.
Game to play.
Yeah,
especially
I've heard
when
of it before.
Especially when I've already seen a movie, like this one. I haven't seen it all the way through, but I've seen lots of bits and pieces.
That's an interesting fact.
Yeah.
For the audience, Truman.
So it does not pass the Bechdel test. If that's going to affect your watching of this movie.
Does the Danny Glover in a wheelchair make up for that?
That is a big step.
And the not fat, only... ginger, nerdy friend character.
Yeah, so...
I mean, my two favorite characters.
The only person of color in this film is Danny Glover.
Let's think about this film, because it happens on a very small scale. It's all in North Dakota in this rural town area.
That's true. And I guess it is North Dakota.
And out of our main characters, we have Trip Meredith are the main characters. Yes. Creech as well.
Yeah.
And then we have Dowd, Tennyson, and Burke. Those are the enemies.
Uh-huh.
And then we just have, like, Danny Glover and nerdy Sam, who are the supporting. So that's...
Well, did you put down Rick? Did you say Rick?
Rick. I forgot about Rick.
Yeah.
Rick, the sheriff, mom's boyfriend. Yeah. So that's 9, like, main characters this plot is revolving around.
Right.
That... I don't know. I think that's an important to take into consideration.
Sure.
It's such a small cast. It's such a contained sequence of events. And
because there was that mechanic, and there was that guy whose car Creech jumped over. So I guess there were a couple of people of color.
Yeah,
But they were just extras, other than extras. Danny Glover.
Yeah,
this came out in 2017.
It's a very small cast. It's very
2017.
Yeah, 2017, very early in the year. What else about the movie?
So, the mom, early in the movie, pretty early in the movie, there's a scene with the mom.
First few scenes.
Yeah, Trip is just getting home as mom is leaving.
On his bike, and she's like, I'm working an overnight, so I won't see you.
And then as soon as Rick comes in, and it's like, hi, sweetie, and gives a kiss on the cheek. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry for touching your car. And he's like, no, that's all right. And then he wipes it off.
Yeah.
And then right after that, Trip leaves. So he came home and said, oh, your mom, you're going to work, mom? All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
And then he leaves. He comes home, and then he leaves after then.
And he goes off to the junkyard. That's his second home.
He goes off to the junkyard. I guess it is a little...
Danny Glover, dude. Father figure numero uno.
That's true.
Another point in why he's the best character.
His deadbeat dad sells him out. He drinks some alcohol. He starts to warm up some wings. And then he sells him out to...
To Terravex.
Yeah.
And goes on the... Did we talk about the train chase?
we talked a little bit about the train chase. We'll get into the train chase a little bit more.
Okay.
In a minute. But... So the mom is never seen from or heard from again.
Yeah.
It's just that one moment of... Alright, I'll be working late tonight, so... See ya. And then, she leaves. And Rick's like... All right, I'm trying to take care of you, kiddo.
Yeah.
And then later, Rick is on a phone call, and we can assume that it's with
Trip's Yeah, with Trip's the mom. Mother. Is that when he's pulling into the dad's place?
We can assume,
The Terravex land. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, so I'm seeing if Trip's here now. And then there's the dust from Creech doing the donuts. Yeah, and he's like, okay, gotta bye. Gotta go by.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are just the instances of her talking, and then the last scene when they go over the whole
when
cast.
That's great. The fifth montage in the movie.
Fifth? Is it that little? It actually feels like there's more.
Yeah. I think it's only the fifth montage. That few? The fifth montage might even be the fourth. But the last couple of minutes of the movie... it goes through and it shows all the characters, and they're all waving at the camera.
Yeah, smiling faces, sun on their faces, early morning, rise of a new dawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the inclusion of Sam's character.
Yeah?
Sam is there for the fat kid jokes, but he's not there for the fat kid jokes. They make, like, one fat kid joke.
Right. And that's...
which shows some restraint.
Is that
restraint.
The crack joke?
Yeah, they make a butt crack joke.
Yes.
You were stepping out into the hall while this happened, but it was during one of the montages of fixing up the cars, and they pass, Meredith passes by Sam to get a tool, and it shows his butt crack, and she looks at the butt crack, and she's like, "Ugh," and then she looks at Trip after, and like motions towards the butt crack, and then he goes,
yeah, like a face
his,
like
his
that.
Face,
yeah.
His face isn't like, ew, a butt crack, or like, ugh, that's Sam again.
Yeah, I remember.
It's just like, yeah.
I remember that scene from my previous viewings.
Yeah!
It's a great, it's like wallpaper worthy image.
It's so weird.
It's fantastic.
It's very weird. But I'm not a fan of that trope either.
Okay.
Of,
While we're at it with the tropes, what do you think of all the violence without any effect? The people who are very obviously dead in this film, who...
Yeah!
There's nothing said.
There's a lot... Yeah, like...
They crush so many
So many cars.
Cars
with people still inside them. And even if the people got out, that car was huge.
Yeah.
The tires spanned, like, a mile. It would have crushed anyone nearby.
It's absurd.
So the sheriff kills 60 people on his way to stop the poison from going to kill those animals.
In the end scenes, we find out that Terravex, in their final solution to the creech problem, they're going to dump them back down and poison the well.
Yeah,
and so the sheriff...
They gotta go stop him.
Yeah, the sheriff comes to help Trip, and Rick is the sheriff, right?
Yeah.
So, him and Burke have an encounter, or, like, Burke's about to push Trip off the edge, and then somehow Rick just stops both cars by crashing into the side with his, like, tiny SUV against this huge, souped-up truck.
That's not how cars work.
Yeah,
the huge truck was just going straight, and then he comes in with the sheriff mobile, and like,
they just stop.
He knocks them to the side, and they just stop, just in their tracks.
Dead stop.
Gosh.
Like, the momentum was diminished completely.
It was hilarious.
Good scene. And then, freaking Burke just pushes the car right off the edge of the cliff, with the sheriff in it, destroying, like, the windows. Two cars were torn off, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's good.
He's fine.
And he gets into this, he moves to this other car that's... There's just a bunch of cars in the middle of this
ravine. There's three vehicles. It's Goldilocks right here.
He goes to this one.
it's a regular car. He skips it.
He goes to this semi.
Yeah,
and then he goes past that one.
And then it's this giant seismic.
No person. Like, what purpose did that serve?
Apparently it was a dump truck. We know that. Because... He races through. Burke ends up lighting a wall of flames to prevent the Creech family
because
from
they
coming.
Can't. They don't like fire because of oil.
They eat oil. Yeah, we learned that in the movie. See, everything has a reason. So he's like just sweeping all these cars to the side, and then he runs over the wall of fire. He dumps out all of the dirt in the back, and Creech family races over.
Use it as a ramp.
Yeah, races over the dirt, uses it as a ramp towards it. They cut off one of the trucks by just crushing the semi, like, cabin? The semi cabin?
Right,
know,
yeah.
Where the driver sits?
Yeah.
They just crush
they
it
just
completely,
right? Yeah,
like, flip
right
the semi, and then there's another tankard pumping, or, like, about to be pumped.
Yeah.
Burke comes back
and
down.
You know how deep you have to dig for oil, right?
Yeah, incredibly.
You have to dig very deep. Deep enough so that if, say, a human person were to fall down that hole, they would die before they even hit the ground.
Yeah.
Trip falls down the hole. But he lands in some water. So he's okay.
Of course.
And since Creech is Creech, yeah. a primarily water-based creature. creature.
He's an amphibian.
Yeah. Creature.
Yeah. Wait, you just realized, yeah, that's truly the best. Yeah, he calls him Creature in the scene before he names him Creech. He
does, and I was like, just calling him Creature as a name? And then he named, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that means he's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He falls in with the truck. The truck broke his landing, obviously.
Because he fell into water, and, you know, just like Minecraft, doesn't matter how far you fall, as long as you land in water.
So, Creech saves Trip, and then Creech's family gets his truck out of the water.
Yeah.
And then Meredith...
And then from, like, 10 miles...
Yeah, they said it was a pocket 2 miles down. Two miles, they're yelling down this hole.
They're like, hey, stay put. We'll get you out of there.
There's still sunlight. It's like a shiny, shiny spot in this cave. Oh.
And then he's just stay there. All right, don't go anywhere now, you hear? We're going to come save you.
He was just going to creech it on up.
Person 2 miles deep in this hole.
And then they do, I don't know how Terravex was punished. They planted horned lizards on the Terravex sites, called a wildlife agency, and got them, like, suspended from operations.
Because there was...
When there were giant
endangered
creatures.
Lizard, yeah.
Like, I don't understand. But that's great.
Yeah.
They shut down Terravex. Yeah, it's the story.
Part of the ending montage was they arrested Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Just him. Not anyone else at the company.
Didn't do nothing.
But just him. Okay.
This movie...
is great. It's excellent.
Dissecting it is kind of like playing 4D chess, I'll be honest. Everything has a reason. Okay. You have to remember every point.
So we got about 3 minutes left in this podcast.
Alrighty.
Real quick, I just want to say, there's something that this movie could have done, and it didn't do.
I would love to hear what it should have done.
Well, not what it should have done. I'm glad that it did not do this.
Okay, great, let's see.
For some little kid who enjoys watching monster trucks, you know, the huge trucks go and rip apart other cars, who enjoys watching those, if you Google monster trucks, the movie is not the first thing to come up.
Yeah, it never is.
It never is. And you have to look for this movie. You have to...
Yeah.
And also, I did a quick... Before what coming here with you today, I did a quick Google Trends. Are you familiar with Google Trends?
I am familiar with Google Trends.
I plugged in Monster Trucks movie and Monster Trucks full movie.
Right.
More people search for Monster Trucks full movie than they do for Monster Trucks movie. More people are trying to pirate the movie than there are to find out more about the movie.
Well, great.
And I think that's a good thing?
Perfect sustainable viewership? I don't know. I guess that's just a testament to the quality of this film. People seek it out directly.
They're not trying to figure out more about it. Like, who's in it?
Yeah.
Or like...
Oh, jeez.
If such a thing exists, but they're just trying to pirate it.
Yeah, so, do you give movie reviews?
Yeah, would you recommend?
Oh my goodness, I highly recommend it. I don't know why, I just absolutely love this movie. One of the greatest pieces of cinematic history.
Out of 10,
honestly, like... 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
I don't know what a perfect film is.
What would push it over into that 10 out of 10?
If I cried.
If you cried.
It
did kind of lack those emotional
when
moments.
A film makes you cry, I think that's automatically 1 point.
That's true. This movie was good for all reasons, except for any of them.
That's a fair point to make.
What do you look for in a movie? It makes you laugh.
Yeah.
It makes you cry. It makes you excited. Because there's exciting action or whatever. I say that those are the things. So this one makes you laugh. It makes you excited.
Yeah.
There's cool action.
There's cool action.
But it never makes you cry. It misses, yeah. though, that moment.
It messes, you know? The final mark
it's,
of a film, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. It doesn't have that emotional
and out of 10.
Button.
What was it?
For me?
Yeah.
Out of 10? I'd have to give it an 8.
8 out of 10?
Maybe a 7. Maybe a 7.
That's really good. I have no idea what it has on.
When it comes to So Bad It's Good, right, this one is... Like, I can see kids liking this movie.
Yeah? That's completely
like,
fair.
Unironically.
Yeah, I like this movie, unironically.
I'm sure.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Carlos, for coming on.
Thank you, Truman.
Don't forget, listeners, follow the podcast on Twitter. We have a Twitter account for the podcast now. It's at title_with, because for some reason, everything else was taken. Thank you, and I'll see you next time. Or rather, you'll see me, because there will be a visual version.
Yes, great. See you guys.
I love you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Truman.